5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I'm John Miglosh for the WDMA. And we're talking about the potential of AI with Tom Fishburne today. AI has the potential to free up so much of our time. How will we use all that free time? Mostly to worry about all the potential issues created by AI. That's a lot of wisdom. Tom has a lot of wisdom, right? We approach the integration of AI with a mixture of excitement and caution, Kate Seymour said, marketing director at CMYK. Cyan, magenta, that's what I keep thinking it is. But it's not. Yellow, yeah, maybe it is. Cyan, magenta, yellow. Anyway, she captured, I think, how many businesses are thinking about AI. And while we recognize the vast potential AI holds for enhancing our own marketing strategies and improving the services we offer our clients, we also acknowledge the importance of preserving the human touch. So Kate said that, but how do you do it? And we're going to be, I'll show you an illustration of the problem in just a second. Other major points of caution range from IP issues to brand reputation to confidential data concerns to employee misuse to hallucinations to simply not knowing what's inside the box. Not knowing what's inside the black box. Concerns like these led 75% of businesses in a BlackBerry study last year to say they had, and I wonder if it was before or after ChatGPT really launched in about April of last year, said they had or were considering a ban on Gen AI in the workplace. I think that's already, I think the cat's out of the bag, okay? Sarwar Farooq, head of development, or head of operations at Jubilee, voiced some of the resistance. We see the output it generates, but we don't really understand how it got to the answer. We don't really understand is right. Okay, we're going to talk about that a bit. There's this black box. It needs to be demystified. I want to know how it works, how it arrived at its response, and whether this answer is repeatable. Yeah, well, good luck with that. There's no way you're going to find that out. Okay, because they don't want to tell you, first of all. And repeatable is an interesting issue. You know, when we started doing database, just building databases, you know, everyone was on Oracle. And when we would run big queries on Oracle, we would get different results every time because they had an unstable query optimizer. And so we went with Interbase, which is still around today, but Oracle's multi-billion dollar company, and Interbase is pretty much a novelty in Linux. Anyway, we need to stop acting like it's magic when there's code running it and there's science behind it. And you need to remember that. Help us understand it, because we don't like adopting a technology that we don't have a solid understanding of. Not true at all. Not true. You know, do you know how your engine works in your car? Do you even know how your starter and your battery work, right? Do you? Most people don't. Most people really don't, you know? And if you let your wife jump your car, you may end up with a dead alternator in a day or two. She'll do things you don't expect. Okay, 94. Sam Altman said, he's the CEO of OpenAI. He was, and then he wasn't, and now I guess he's back. 95% of what marketers use agencies, strategists, and creative professionals for today will easily, nearly instantly, and almost no cost be handled by AI. And I was on a panel or whatever. I was on a Zoom call, and one of the copywriters was saying, I'm just losing all my business. You know, they're just saying, write me some copy about X, whatever it is. And the thing spits it out. Whether it's any good or not, it's free. It's hard to beat free. We'll talk more about that in a minute. The AI will likely be able to test creative against real or synthetic customer focus groups for predicting results and optimizing. Scott Adams pointed this out a couple years ago. He said, you don't think that AI can write copy, and it probably can't. You know, maybe it can't write headlines worth a darn, but it can write 100 of them faster than you can write 3. And, you know, if it's hooked up to digital advertising, it can put those out there, and it can let the bots out there decide which one gets the most clicks, even if they're not real humans. And then you can make a decision, and you don't have to even think about it. And you'll have data-driven marketing. Literally data-driven, right? But he said, you know, as long as you have a good testing culture, you can let AI have its head a bit. That's a horse riding term. It means let the horse run. You can let AI do what it will as long as you're testing the results. Just test the results. Keep track of what's working and what isn't working. Out in the human world, watch the sales. Again, all free. Instant and nearly perfect. Images, videos, campaign ideas, no problem. Now, I have had some challenges trying to get images out. I did manage to get a couple out right away, really, really well. I used to tell my kids that, you know, when you start to gamble, the devil will let you win a few to get you hooked on the excitement. But long term, the house always wins. So anyway, no problem. There will, of course, be problems. Tom writes, no problem. There will, of course, be problems. There always are unforeseen difficulties and consequences. That's just the nature of adopting any new technology, particularly technology as wide-reaching and consequential as AI. It's up to the rest of us to weigh some of these problems against the potential and find the right way forward. You know, I wonder, Tom, have you ever considered trying to let your AI help you with the cartoon writing? My guess is it can. And this is how you can do it. You can say, I don't know if you can say give me humorous topics, but give me the top 20 marketing topic headlines for the last month, something like that. And all of a sudden you'll have something to talk about, right? It'll trigger you, right? AI washing. Can I interest you in your I know this is a good commercial, a good cartoon. Can I interest you in our product? We're AI powered. Everyone says that. Exactly how do you use AI to automate how aggressively we'll market to you once we have your info? Right. Once we have your info. Right. Right. I'm reviving a patent I had I got it about the year 2000. And I know the idea came to me about then, so in the early 2000s. And it was about how to use database and how to use database to manage friend-to-friend communication. So it kept the human in the loop. But it's very difficult to deliberately keep the human in the loop because humans don't feel like looking at stuff. Let's transform our entire business using the generative AI I used to write a poem about my dog. Yeah, but it does do some good does do pretty well on poems. I have tried that also. What will be the if Hallmark can use it, I don't know if they are, but if they can use it, then pretty much anybody. Poems are hard to write. What will be the impact of ChatGPT on our business? There's a lot we don't know for sure, like how much of what it says is made up, or if it will take away our jobs, or the security risks, or if it could damage our reputation. What do we know for sure? Only that we want to adopt it everywhere as fast as we can. Right. And the bot took the notes for the meeting and made that recommendation. This is just back, not even a year ago. Okay, I think that's about it. Have you figured out how AI will impact our business? Working on it. How will AI impact our business? There are many ways AI can impact. Exactly. Okay. So here's supposedly a case study from oh man, Path to Response, that's it. And they're pitching their path to acquisition, path to response, okay? And dazzling results for iconic multi-channel jeweler. I had some high hopes for this. Test and rollout strategy with custom modeled path to acquisition audience delivers golden performance, which they're going to say a few times here. And they have some numbers, which is better than a lot of case studies I see. I don't know if it's incremental lift, but I think it is. I hope there was a control. It doesn't mention a control. So it says this iconic jewelry brand has been reaching its target customers at brick and mortar locations, online, and via catalogs for decades. Okay, so it's a catalog jewelry company. I don't know what it is, but good for them. Their key challenge is identifying new customers in each channel to drive incremental growth. Incremental, they do mention the right word, even with a highly optimized marketing mix. Not exactly sure what that sentence all means. You know, it's part of the marketing jargon of our day. The client came to our team seeking a unique source for new customer growth. I'm guessing it's a list source. Give me some new names that could deliver solid response as well as efficient ROI. You know, again, efficient ROI. Sufficient, I think maybe would be a better word there. Maybe AI wrote that. Okay, so here's a picture of a woman with jewelry. I stuck it in there because it was in the case study. This is all there was. Okay, given the emphasis on new customer growth, and I don't think they really mean growing new customers, although they could, but I doubt it. I think they mean more new customers, not growing new customers. It's different. We've done models for what we call early life, which is trying to decide which new customers are worth more effort. More marketing effort to make them more valuable early on. Some customer segments, new customers, are a one and done. Most are. 60% are. Okay, so if you could figure out which ones aren't, that would be a great model. And it is. And it worked very well for our clients. So I'm not sure if that's what they mean, new customer growth, or they mean growing the number of new customers. Okay, so path to acquisition model. So that right away gives them license to not tell us what exactly it was for a quick, straightforward read. And most of the modeling that I see from the list and co-op area, they don't tell you at all what the key variables are because you could probably apply it to other lists and then they would lose you. In addition, we collaborated with the client to activate a website tag, which ensured that future audience modeling could benefit from the powerful intent signals derived from our site visit data. So they drove people to the website and then they measured what happened on there. And that literally may be a new customer. They may be worried about which new customers are best. So their dollar per book index being 179, I'm guessing, you know, 100% would be doubled. So this is like almost triple the incremental positive response and more than double the response rate index. That's my guess for what these numbers mean. They mean it, mean it, mean it, mean that. It's hard to know. At least, you know, it's double what they've been doing, hopefully. Anyway, but as you see, not much clue on what's going on. And that's really what put my modeling business out of business. Is that the marketing department does not want to know what really was working. They want it to beat control. That's fine. That's good. Except if it stops working, you don't know what else to do. Right? And you don't know why the model is working. And in 25 years and thousands, literally thousands of models, I've had almost no one want to really know what the model was built on, what the variables were key. I did live classes. I did you know, I sent PDFs all marked up and tried to explain what was going on. I did, toward the end, I could do videos and send them off for every model. Nobody looked. Nobody wanted to know. It's fascinating. And when I got beat because they didn't give me some key variables that they gave someone else, I asked, well, what did the other model look like? They said, oh, it's a secret sauce. They won't tell us. Right? And those are free. Those are free from the list co-op, from the database. They're free to keep you using their lists. And that's what it's like. Free that beats control beats a lot of explanation and understanding. Marketers don't want understanding. Not my experience, but it's only 25 years and thousands of models. And 100 or so modeling clients. So anyway, but thinking about AI, I did a talk, spring of 93, it was December of 92, but then I wrote an article about client server. But what was funny was, it was the only speech I can remember my parents ever attending, because it was in Orlando, and they had a condo down in Florida, so they came and made the drive up. And my dad passed away not too long after that. But I talked on client server architecture why it applied to marketing. And I found out that this is available, this article, for $25 out on the internet from three different sources. And it explains why client server architecture is the best for marketing. And I ended up getting, at the database conference in Orlando, I ended up getting a standing ovation on computer architecture, if you can believe that. Literally a packed room. It was literally standing room all around the walls. Maybe my reputation preceded me, but anyway, I got a standing ovation, a rousing standing ovation. And I think the reason was because, and someone came up to me afterwards. I don't know if I see all the markup. I did a lot of markup on this, but I didn't do all of it. But my main thesis was that IS, that's what we used to call it in those days, information systems, because they were still writing systems in those days instead of just integrating all this stuff. IS craves stability. Marketing chases opportunity. This one concept was a lot of, you know, why I got big database clients back then. people wanted to buy my company. It was because I understood that in order to run a company solidly, you need fairly unchanging processes. You need to be able to take an order, get the money, you know, send information to the warehouse, fulfill the order, and those basics have to happen. You need to, you know, receive inventory. You need to keep track of inventory. You need to do accounting. Those things can't change on a whim. And for that reason, in those days, a lot of IT people would lock marketing out of their process as much as possible, or pay them lip service. And so I explained why this is a good thing. And why the marketing people, as well-meaning as they are, don't know what they want. It's not really their fault. It's because they're trying to predict the future. And so, you know, I think the standing room only. My sister went to one of my talks on this and said, "Why are you so hard on marketing people?" I said, "I'm not. It's just a hard job. We're trying to predict the future." Anyway, so I'm going to put this up in the show notes, wdma.org. And if you subscribe, which is free, you can get the whole article. I'm going to try and find one with the original diagrams help it a lot. If you paid the $25, you find it online. This is the name, Architectures for Marketing Computer Systems, and you can find it from three sources. And it's got 180 citations, which is pretty good, I guess. Refereed journal, you know, we used to have a journal of direct marketing, you know, back in those days. But in spite of all of this intelligence, marketing basically says, no, just beat control. Have a nice day. I hope you learned something. Like, reshare, your friends will know you're smart.